Hey guys, and welcome to the Three Drinks In podcast, episode number 92. In this episode, we wait for Mr. Charlie Cox, star of Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix, as well as the more recent show, The Defenders. As we wait for Charlie to show up, we talk about what we thought of The Defenders and share the results of our most recent Twitter poll. I want to remind you guys that we are available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and now TuneIn Radio. Just search Three Drinks In podcast and you'll easily find us. Hit that subscribe button so you never have to miss an episode. And while you're there, leave a review or at the very least a rating. We'd really appreciate it. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at the number 3 Drinks In Pod. That's at 3 Drinks In Pod. 3 Drinks In Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And questions, concerns, comments, and compliments can be sent to 3DrinksInPodcast@gmail.com. All right, that's it. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. I've got a Firestone Pale Ale, California Pale Ale, or Pale 31, I don't know, it's good.
It's beer.
I came across this a few years ago, somebody brought it to a shore house I was at, and they have a lot of different kinds. They have IPAs, double IPAs, something in my fridge called the Hoptical something. There's always some kind of a fun psychedelic thing they do with the hops. Mm. I think Blue Point has the Hoptical Illusion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So, but no, it's good. They have a... this is not my favorite, but it was in a can and it was right there. And it was like, yeah, something different for a change.
Yeah. Just get that before all the pumpkin stuff starts showing up. And
yeah, they got the Oktoberfest beers all lined up. And it's amazing how like I used to really enjoy the Sam Oktober. Like back before the crap brewing thing had exploded, and now I can't. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I had some recently, like a week or two ago. I had it, and it was like still August. It was okay. It just you know, when you've had so many craft beers, it's still a mass produced beer, so it's not anything special.
Well, even the German mass produced beers that are of the same style are just better. I mean, like, all I get is clove. I get all this, like, you know, kind of fully clovey maltedness to it, where it just kind of tastes so, not sweet, but almost syrupy. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's not as good. And it isn't to say that there's one kind of Oktoberfest beer, because we've had light Oktoberfest beers, we've had dark ones. Mm. So there's a wide range, but they've gone very much in one direction, and it's cloying at this point. I don't like it.
Yeah. We went to the Renegades game the other night, and they had like...
The Hudson Valley Renegades?
The Hudson Valley Renegades. Yeah. They're great. They had $5 draft nights.
Nice.
And they had spot in Oktoberfest, so I had like 8 of them. Oh, man. They were really good.
They had a Kolsch there when I was there a few weeks ago. I can't think of the name. I think it's the Millhouse Brewery. It's in Poughkeepsie. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the place's website, the place looks really, really nice. I don't think it's in the best area, which is how you get to have a brewery, is you buy an old building that nobody wants in an area that you know, they drive through really fast.
Yeah.
And but the beer was really good. Hmm. Yeah. So we are waiting for Mr. Charlie Cox of Daredevil fame to arrive. He was also in that movie, The Theory of Everything.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he played Stephen Hawking's ex-wife's new husband.
Oh.
Yeah, like apparently the Hawking's, the woman married to Stephen Hawking, his first wife, who I think his name was Jane, but I'm not sure. She went and formed a relationship with this guy, at least in the film. I'm not sure how true this is in real life, at a local church. And he wasn't a minister. He was just like a guy that helped out with the choir or whatever. And you know, he's ended up helping their family out, like, because Stephen Hawking was pretty immobile. Mm-hmm. And they ended up having a relationship, or not having one, but they, you know, had an attraction. And then when they got divorced, they got together. And he's totally, first of all, he's British, which, you know, I forget all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he's British.
Yeah. And in that movie, he was kind of a skinny British guy. In this movie, he's ripped. Or these shows, rather, I should say. He's in quite good shape. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it took me a second to go, oh, that's the same guy. He cut his hair.
He's not very tall, but, like, in the show, he looks bigger than he is, so...
Yeah, I mean, sitting next to, what's his face, the guy who plays Luke Cage, everyone looks short.
Yeah, I mean, that guy is just massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm looking over our Twitter here just to see what the poll turned out. We got 5 votes. I want to thank you 5 people for...
Did you vote?
I did vote. So, okay. Four people.
Oh, I was one of them too. So,
3 people voted, and we thank you very much.
It literally takes tied. 4 seconds.
It's not a lot of effort, people. Those of you who didn't vote, those of you who did, we thank you very much. We really appreciate that. And I think, if it was 5 votes and we're 2 of them, I'm clearly in the it stinks category. Mm hmm. And so we had 2 It Stinks, 2 loved it, and 1 did not care for it.
Interesting.
So those of you, 2 who loved it, show your work, basically, is what I have to say. And if you want to do that, you can tweet us back at 3DrinksInPod, at the number 3DrinksInPod. And we can hash it out, if you like. Add you to the fan mail, but so what did as we wait for Mr. Cox to arrive, what did you think of The Defenders?
I thought it stunk.
I didn't like it. Bag of garbage.
It was a smelly pile of crap. Yeah, I didn't like it at all. I actually had a really hard time watching it.
I'm surprised that you did, because I watched it with my wife, because we got into this with Daredevil. The first season of that, and she's not a real superhero fan, but these type of shows appealed because they're not, you know, about aliens coming out of the sky and blowing things up. And so we started watching that, and then we watched Jessica Jones, and that was pretty good, and it was scary as hell, some of that show. And but she's the kind of person that has a hard time putting a book down if it isn't very good. And so when this began... We got halfway through, and I'm like, "Listen, if the next one isn't any good, I'm jumping ship." And she's like, "Really? We're this far in? You want to do that?" And I'm like, "So, we got through the whole thing, and then I think I texted you. I was like, "Don't bother, it's awful." And then you went ahead and watched the whole thing.
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about it because the summer movie season's pretty much over, and there's nothing to watch.
And that's true. Not pretty much over. It fell off a cliff.
Yeah. And there's nothing on TV right now that I wanted to watch. So, and like, I'm starting a new job, so like pretty soon I'm going to be much busier than I have been in the last 30 years of my life. So I was like, only 8 episodes, I can get that in. And I didn't even pay attention to most of it.
Yeah. I found an app on my, it's a baseball game app. Mm-hmm. That it's very simple. It's just watch the pitch and like tap your thumb, and then you'll swing at it. And I literally did that for the last 3 episodes of the show.
Oh, nice!
And I was like, all right, I'm just gonna watch this. And
remember that old game we used to swipe up to make the paper? Like you were like throwing the balled up pieces of paper at the garbage can while the fan was like blowing.
Oh, paper toss!
You had to angle the paper. It was like that. It's like sitting in a cubicle wasting time.
Yeah. They actually have all new versions of that game where they where it's like you can choose different things. You can get like a stapler or a bowling ball, and like you can do it in your boss's office while he sleeps. You can throw things at him too. It's
Well, they used to just be all these like flash games before phone games were a thing. So
yeah.
No, I didn't like this show.
No, this show stunk.
And yeah,
I mean, I've watched all of them with the exception of the Iron Fist. I think I watched 3, maybe 4 episodes of the Iron Fist. And the acting in the Iron Fist was so terrible. Like, the story wasn't bad. You know, it kind of took a while to get anywhere. I shouldn't say kind of. It definitely did. But the acting was just so horrendous. And even, like, David Wedham, the guy from Lord of the Rings, was in it. And, you know, he was, like, the one guy in it who could act. And I didn't quite get the whole, like, just... Anyway, but they've gone... These have gotten progressively worse as they have been developed. Is that my imagination or is that true?
That's true.
Good.
Now, I didn't watch Iron Fist. Did you watch the whole thing?
No. We couldn't. Even CJ couldn't get behind that. She's like, no, this stinks. I mean, nothing really happened. Mm-hmm. It just, at all. And, like, that was, I think, the beginning of this whole thing where they just decide not to give you any information about what's going on whatsoever. Like, with Daredevil, you saw things from, you know, from his point of view. You saw things from Fisk's point of view. And you kind of knew what they were working towards. You didn't know everything, but you understood why Fisk was doing the things he wanted to do. You know, his motivations were very clear. Even if the plans weren't, like, what the ultimate goal was kind of obfuscated. But, you know, the in the moment things, you know, that was it was obvious why he was doing it. And then with Jessica Jones, same thing. Like, but then all of a sudden, when you get to the Iron Fist, and it's all about the hand, and there was a bit of this in Daredevil season 2, but all the Iron Fist, you just had no idea who anybody was, what they wanted, why they wanted it, and what their ultimate end game was, even though it all was told to you to be quite elaborate as they all spoke around everything. But, like, they never said, well, the plans for the final thing, or, you know, it was always hyper vague about what they were doing, even though they were talking to each other. And that's so that trend continued in this show to the point where you just didn't know so long that you didn't care anymore.
Well, I it's hard to get behind a hero's when the villain is so mystifying. I think there was a lot of that in the second season of Daredevil.
Yeah, because it was probably more than I realized.
Like, it connected a lot to the Defenders, where people that Daredevil was murdering and killing were coming back to life. And he was like, I don't understand. I killed that guy, but he's alive. And then he finds out that they were digging a giant hole in the middle of New York for a reason that's not explained. And then it sort of ends. And I was like, all right, I don't know what that was all about, but I guess we'll get to it later. You know, because, like, the first quarter of the third of the season of that show was taken up by the Punisher. You know, and so none of the hand stuff came up at all. And in this show, I mean, they were still digging in that hole, and their goals were completely vague in that we need a substance, we need the black sky, we want New York City to fall, we don't care whether or not that happens. And we have a lot of faceless ninjas, you know. So, and the 5 leaders of the group don't get along. And they sort of stand there and argue with one another. Like, endlessly. Just endless arguments about what they're doing.
There was just so much talking.
Yeah.
Like, this is an action miniseries. Why are they having a, you know, and notoriously, the more characters you have, the harder it is to do anything. You know, but definitely, you know, talking scenes, meeting scenes, scenes around dinner tables, they're impossible because you always, just from a logistical standpoint, you have to, you know, match eye line. So if someone says something and then turns to look that way, the next shot has to be of the other person looking back at him. And there's all these rules for basic cinematography in group conversation scenes. that you need to adhere to. Why have so many of them? Especially when you don't explain anything. No one ever says, this is the hand, we are the good people. We want to defeat the hand because they want to do this. Is that too much to ask? I don't know.
And like, whenever they had the motivation, they would say, we want to go back to Kunlun, which is where we were cast out of millennia ago. Well, I didn't see, now I didn't watch Iron Fist, but Iron Fist himself kept saying, there is no such place. It got burned to the ground and everyone died. So I'm like, wait a minute. Is it there or is it not there?
He says that, and Stick says that, saying that the Chaste are all dead. I'm the last one.
Right. So does anybody know what the hell was going on? Do you know? You'd know more than me.
I have.
I don't know.
I never got to any part in Iron Fist where they went to Kunlun or they showed anything about. I mean, no. There's just no information whatsoever. And I mean, is it possible that you need to be a comic book nerd to get this? Like, you have to have a background knowledge? But that doesn't seem. It seems stupid, but that's not putting. You know, it's not, you know, putting it past them.
I mean, Daredevil's been around a long time, but Daredevil was not super popular until like the 80s. And then Luke Cage and Iron Fist were not popular, ever. They were just not popular. And then Jessica Jones is new. She's only been around since like 2000, 2001. So you're not going to find people with like a deep lore for these characters, except maybe Daredevil. Even that's a bit of a stretch, you know? So if you can't explain it in your own damn show, you're not going to get anybody that knows.
Yeah.
You know, you need someone to tell you what's going on.
You're relying on a very small audience to carry a very big and expensive television program.
Yeah. Here's right, the other thing I didn't like about the hand. Look,
okay. I was just going to say, we should rattle off particular grievances.
Yeah, well, here's one of them.
The hand.
They're also, aside from being vague, they're not effective.
No.
You know? They're not scary. Their goons aren't scary. And all their plans blow up right in their faces constantly. You know?
Yeah, they were never successful, it seems, at anything. I mean, you assume success because it's a big fancy office building and it was built, it seems, very quickly, considering that in Daredevil season 2 there was just a hole in the ground in a construction site and now it's this huge skyscraper.
Yeah.
But beyond that, their obvious wealth and the fact they have endless henchmen willing to, you know, I mean, she even, there was a couple of moments where I was kind of taken aback by them was when the Iron Fist goes to the office and says, I am the Iron Fist and I'm here to destroy you all. And the some girl takes out a gun and he turns it around and like holds the girl in front of him as like a hostage or as a barrier. And Sigourney Weaver, who again was wasted in this TV show because she's so talented and she just did nothing to do, says to him, they will mow right through her to get to you. So certain lines were really creepy. The other thing I thought that kind of worked was the scene when they have the African guy tied up on a chair. And he tells a story about how years ago, somebody else had me in the same position. And my warriors surrounded the place that they were in, basically laid siege to them with him inside. And since he couldn't die, and they didn't want to kill him, they ran out of food and water. And he says, that chair became a throne. And I thought that was, you know, it was just a rare moment of pretty well-written material where he was saying, like, the tables were turned and nothing happened for that to happen. Just time passed. And because I can't die, they, or at least didn't need food and water to live, whatever the hell it was, you know. So the image of that in my head was, oh, that's kind of scary to think that all they have to do is wait him out and starve him out and they'll eventually turn the tide.
No, oh, I'm sure that would have been interesting to watch.
Sure, yeah. No, that would have been great had that been included in this story.
Yeah, I mean, there's a thing we like to call show, don't tell. And if you're constantly talking about the bad things you're always doing, but we don't ever see it, and they're constantly being foiled by and GameSpot called them three mild-mannered superheroes and their sidekick, the Iron Fist, you know, then it's not effective. And I always think of, because I'm always quoting superhero stuff, in that Justice League cartoon, they had the season-long arc where they were fighting the government and special black ops and all that stuff. And they said, you know, when we were writing it, we set it all up, but we had an effective villain that wasn't effective because they hadn't won anything. You know, we had to give the villains one of them. And they wrote an entire episode from the villain's point of view where they go up to the space station where the Justice League hangs out and steal a bunch of stuff and get away with it. You know, and they sound like we had to show them being an effective villain. And that doesn't happen in this one.
No. You know? I mean, at no point do you feel that it's going to go the other way.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you're just, it's just a slow march to the inevitable. And yeah, someone might die in the process, but there's never any concern on the part of the audience like, oh, you know, they may not pull this off. The odds are so stacked against. No, you never feel that way.
Yeah, and they kept talking about how, like, we're the most dangerous and we've been around forever. And then the black guy gets killed pretty early on. And then the rest of them are like, well, we don't have our magic powers. We could die any minute. It's scary for us. And yet they keep throwing themselves into danger and nothing happens until they all die.
Yeah.
So we have Daredevil who can fight. Jessica Jones, who's just really strong. Like, she can't do kung fu. So she looked like she was getting her ass whooped.
Yeah.
And then you had Luke Cage, who can take bullets, but he also doesn't know kung fu. So he's just sort of like stomping around like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, just like swinging his arms like, ah, I'm big.
True. it's like a drunken bear.
Yeah.
He's bound to destroy something.
Yeah, like he's hitting all this stuff, and sometimes it's a ninja, and sometimes it's not. And then you had the Iron Fist, who was just doing backflips the whole time until his hand felt like moving the plot along.
Okay, so let's talk about why couldn't he do it all the time?
I don't know. His chi? He had to focus it or something.
Then what? I mean, it's to talk about a part-time superhero. I mean, the conditions for him to call that thing up were so specific and so rare. Like, I understand, like, making it a thing where, like, it just can't be glowing all the time and he can't run around in a straight line punching everybody. Like, I get that. It's this thing that makes Superman kind of a awkward character to write for because he's always invincible all the time. And yeah, but like, it never happens. Like, they went too much in the other direction with it.
Yeah, I don't know. And like, I don't know if that was I also don't know why. I know his backstory. He was an orphan. The monks raised him, and he comes home. But I didn't watch the show, so I don't know what makes him the Iron Fist beyond sometimes punching real hard with one hand, not even both.
No, just the one. He put his fist into the flaming heart of the dragon.
Okay.
That's emblazoned on his chest in that tattoo. And because he proved himself worthy to do that, he became the immortal Iron Fist, which I don't think they know
exactly
what the word immortal means.
You know.
It means that you can't die. Although Stick did, when they were talking in a Chinese food restaurant, he was saying, like, you know, he's the dumbest Iron Fist yet.
Yeah.
So I guess the idea is
like that too.
Yeah. The idea is that, you know, he's not physically immortal. It's just that there is always somebody who can be the Iron Fist. It's just him this time, which kind of cheapens who he is a little bit.
Well, if there can be only one, I mean,
at a time.
Right.
Yeah. And like, and then when you die, you know, some of the guy, it just, I don't know. It makes it less special if you're not that unique.
Well, he is unique. He's the only one.
But again, for right now, like,
I assume it takes a while for them to show up. Like, if he drops dead tomorrow, is another guy going to get off the plane? I don't know.
Probably. Yeah, okay. So it's fairly unique, but
yeah. Just like he's sort of immortal. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So that was crap. Let's talk a minute about the black sky. What the fuck is it?
It's a weapon. That's all they kept saying it was, so I don't know beyond that.
But it was a person. And in Daredevil, it was a little boy.
Yeah.
A little Asian boy.
Remember that?
But in this one, it's a, you know, a woman in her mid-30s.
Yeah.
I'm very confused.
I don't know. And they just get... And, like, I thought it was interesting that only Sigourney Weaver thought it was a good idea to have that. But they all just kept going along with it anyway. So, like, they set up this conflict that didn't go anywhere. They're like, well, only you thought that should happen. We don't want to use the black sky. I'm like, okay, why not?
Is she the thumb? Is that the thing? Like, yeah. You know how, like, the thumb is, like, the best finger?
Yeah.
But they all kind of deferred to her. And
yeah, like, why was she in charge? Because she was American?
I don't know. I think... That's a good joke. she got top billing, I guess. That's why, you know, yeah. Sigourney Weaver, you know. It's amazing to watch really talented people perform very poor material.
Good. Well, she's still good at it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, God, you are just doing your damnedest. Mm. You know, it's like when you watch Anthony Hopkins or Michael Caine in something stupid. You know, like, what was it we saw for 2 seconds the other day? Miss Congeniality, Michael Caine's.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even him mugging at the camera is phenomenal in this really dumb movie.
Yeah, I mean, that movie is really dumb, but yeah. He sells it.
But he's best. Yeah, but, like, they're so good. And she's so damn good in this. All right, we'll come back to that. But, yeah, the black sky. It's expensive, whatever it is. It took a lot of resources. I think the thing that they were going on about, because they were saying that, you know, what your decision to use all of our resources meant that they used the last of the black goo.
Yeah, like, not money.
Right.
Just the goo.
Yeah, and which is, of course, to them more valuable than anything else, or really anybody. But it was Elektra. And that's why, I mean, that's why Stick was protecting her. I'm trying to think back to Daredevil season 2, because there was stuff like he comes along when she's young and trains her from when she's a kid.
Yeah.
Because she's born with something, or?
Well, they kind of allude to that she's, like, really special somehow. And that doesn't come up in the Defenders. They just bring her back to life and make her into their weapon because she can already fight. You know?
Yeah.
And she starts to get her memories back anyway.
There's something to be said, I think, in this case, for doing not a prologue, but something to connect. Because now you have a lot of stuff going on. I remember when the Lord of the Rings came out, and we watched the behind-the-scenes thing, and they had apparently wanted Peter Jackson to film a prologue for the... for the second film, to kind of catch you up. If you hadn't seen the first one, you know, here's what you missed kind of thing. And he refused. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, for good reason. He was saying, look, pay the $8-$9, go see the movie, and you'll be all caught up. It's like, it's only two and a half hours, whatever it was, that first film. In this case, if you missed the Iron Fist, or if you missed any significant chunk of it, you know, like, it's hard to catch up with somebody if they missed all, you know, was it 4 or 5 seasons that they previously shot for Netflix. But if you've missed only one of them, and, like, I only missed maybe 10 episodes out of the whole lot, and I didn't know what was going on, it's a combination of bad writing and poor planning. But also, like, throw me a bone here. Like, remind me of something I missed from a year and a half ago. Like, we all have lives. We all do other things. I can't keep all this stuff in my head.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to... The problem with fantasy elements is that they have to be explained somewhat. They have to be, or we don't understand. And instead of buying into it, we're constantly going, but why can it do that sometimes? Like his fist. Why can that do that sometimes? I don't know. They don't tell you. It just, it's something that happens. So every time it happens, you're like, well, that's dumb. So, like, why? Okay, the black goo makes people come back to life, but do they always come back as the same person? Do they, like, take over a new body? How come she's getting her memories back? Like, it's just not explained. So when she starts doing things and making decisions that, like, seem shocking, I don't know if that's supposed to be shocking.
Yeah.
So, like, they're arguing about whether that's really Elektra inside the body of her, and then she starts to come back and have memories, but she's also acting mean about it later. I don't know if any of that is supposed to have happened or not.
Yeah.
So I can't get it, like, emotionally invested.
Yeah, the point that they had hoped to be a turning point for the show was when, because she keeps, you know, she goes through all the, like the weapons, and she picks the swords. Okay, great. And then she keeps looking at the size, those three-pronged daggers.
Yeah.
And this is a callback to, this is the weapon she preferred when she, you know, before her rebirth. And that's the whole point, is that you see her, oh, look, she's recalling about her past. And then she kills, spoiler alert, Sigourney Weaver, the Thumb, I'm going to call her. they kills her in like a totally random, didn't see it coming, right in the back with the size, and says, my name is Elektra and you all work for me now. And that was the point where I was like, okay, I can finish this because something happened. I didn't see it coming. It was, you know, unexpected and might take the show in a new direction where something might actually happen. And then nothing fucking happens. It was all the same. She continued the same plan, but just in front. Like, okay, well, I'm going to do the same thing she was going to do. So it's a good thing I killed her.
Yeah.
Christ.
Here's the other part of that plan I didn't understand. On the one hand, like in the beginning, when the old Chinese woman and Sigourney Weaver are arguing, Sigourney Weaver is dying from like cancer or something, and she needs that black goo right away.
Yeah.
And so what they're doing is, none of this is explained until the end, of course. You're lucky I'm explaining it to you now, because I was sitting there like scratching my head, like, I don't get this. They're digging under that hole for the goo, which is under like behind a sealed gate. And Sigourney Weaver, you know, says, I need it now. We have to hurry everything up. And she's like, we can't. We've been going very slowly. Like, and they just argue about the speed of it. And then you find out later, like, they're digging for dragon bones. Will somehow also collapse Manhattan into the hole? Because I guess the dragon bones are holding everything up.
Mm.
Right? So, like, they keep saying, like, the city's going to go under. It's going to fall. No big deal. It doesn't matter. But, and like, were they always planning to do that? Like, slowly? Or, because if they do it really slow, people are going to go down there and be like, huh, they're digging a big hole. They should probably stop.
What are all these ninjas doing down here?
Shouldn't they do it quickly? It wasn't
No, it didn't make any sense.
No, it was disappointing because they don't want you to think about it, and then when they tell you, they don't want you to think about it too hard.
Yeah. What else sucked about this? Jessica Jones has gotten worse.
Okay, so you want to talk about like the acting and then the direction and stuff, besides just the plot?
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, they wrote her pretty badly, too. Like, she didn't do anything. She kind of acts like a sleuth for a while, but it doesn't, they don't just need to do that. Because she's like, hey, this whole thing is fishy. Is this the same person's signatures on all these things, even though it's a different name? And then Stick walks in and just tells them all, oh, yeah, by the way, that's who this is. So it's like, oh, it's a good thing that she did all that digging around it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had,
Yeah, well, you got four characters, and they mirror one another. So you get Daredevil and Iron Fist are two basically ninjas. And then you get Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, who were two really strong people. That's not a lot of diversity, you know? It's not like when you have Captain America, the Hulk, and Iron Man, and Thor. I mean, all those guys have very different abilities and sensibilities and things like that.
Right.
You know, so to draw these four people together took a lot of stretching on the writer's part.
They're also like, but like in the comic, don't Luke Cage and the Iron Fist, aren't they like pals?
Yeah,
they're like a duo.
Work together. Yeah.
So like they kind of hint at that. So like they're trying to manufacture tension where there wasn't any.
Well, and yeah, there wasn't all any on the same side, aren't they?
Well, I mean they are. And they're also like pretty genial people. Like Jessica Jones is the only one that, you know, is kind of inherently combative and, you know, not a team player. The other ones sort of are. I mean, Daredevil kind of, he wants to protect other people, so he's hiding who he is, and they're making fun of him for it. But, like, the absolute worst part I thought of the entire show was they're in the Chinese food place, and she just decides, you know what, I'm out of here. You guys stink. For no other, like, she went through all this crap with them, and it's just like, you know what, I'm going to leave because the script said I had to leave. And so she leaves, and she... like she gets drunk and she goes to that guy's house who killed himself in her apartment and like has like an awkward drunk conversation with his widow and then stumbles into a guy surveilling them and then decides to go back to the Chinese food restaurant and help them out because it said so in the script.
Yeah, well, didn't she like read the signatures? So she's like, oh my God, they're the same people. They were right all along.
Did that happen in between when she left the Chinese food restaurant? She went to the library? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think so. Or again, like just to her laptop.
I'm not really paying attention, I guess. Anyway, so she leaves and comes back within the same 20 minutes. And at this point, the black guy is standing right there with her swords. She's ready to take him down. And then Jessica Jones throws a car through the front door or through the window of the restaurant and knocks her down. And instead of, like, kicking her in the face like she was doing with the other guy, she decides to stand there alongside the other four of them and do a fighting fisticuffs pose. And I was like, really? This is what we're doing? It just looks so cheesy. And the whole point was that the character didn't do that. And it was just such crap.
Yeah, well, they kind of made them... They had to find ways to stop them from being good, you know. So her thing is that I'm an angry alcoholic, and even though I run a detective agency where I help people, I don't want to help people. Like, okay, well, that doesn't make any sense, but fine. And the same with Luke Cage. I'm only here to help Harlem and young black men. Yeah, but this group says they're going to kill everyone in the city. I don't care about that. I only care about Harlem. I'm like, Harlem is in the city. You know, Danny Rand was the same way. I'm only here to stop the hand. Well, what about that guy? I don't know. Is he a ninja? I don't think so.
Yeah, they all had very narrow interests that were very obvious to be part of a larger plan. Like, it's one of those things where, like, if you look at the Avengers, it was a matter of everyone had a different idea how to do the same thing.
Right.
And in this movie, everyone's doing a small bit of the same thing, and they don't want to see the forest through the trees.
Yeah,
and that's makes them look stupid and myopic.
Yeah, well, like, and every time they had to fight, they'd like groan and roll their eyes. I'm like, guys, this is all connected here. You know.
Yeah, so. I mean, yeah, it's so bad.
I didn't like all the supporting characters just buzzing around either. Did you notice that?
We're all going to hang out over here in this police station.
Yeah.
And collect like the paycheck.
They stick them in there because they're like, the hand might come for you and you're all in danger. And I was like expecting them to fight back at some point. Like people would come after them and then the heroes would have to get them or like they'd have to defend themselves in the police station. And it didn't happen. So they were just hanging out talking to one another.
Yeah, and the two of them leave, and girl gets her arm chopped off.
When did Rosario Dawson get so mopey? She used to be good. She was, like, good at it.
She was an interesting character in the... I think because she has... Like, they're exploring, like, the relationship with her and Luke.
Yeah, well, in the comics, Luke Cage and Jessica Jones get together and have children.
Really?
Yeah, so they're kind of setting up that he's going to have to leave the nurse and be with Jessica.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. She was good. I mean, she was... I'll never forget the scene in Daredevil when the Russian gangsters have her tied to a chair and they're beating the snot out of her in a parking garage. And all of a sudden, Daredevil's there and she just starts to laugh at them.
Yeah.
Like, that was great. That was such a good scene.
And there were moments in the other shows where she's like, I want to help superpowered people. I think I found my calling in life. And in this show, she's like, I don't know why I got involved with all these superpowered people. I don't want to do this. I'm like, no, that's the only thing you want to do.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. So she's super mopey.
Yeah, she was kind of.
And everybody.
The other one, the Asian girl, too, was just kind of a grouch.
She stinks.
Yeah, she wasn't very good. Everybody in the Iron Fist was terrible. Yeah. All the acting was just
the guy from The Hand who was in the Iron Fist show, he stunk too. I'm like, wow, that guy can't act.
Like, did they just run out of money and we got to, guys, the coffers are really low. We need to do this on the cheap. Who's not working right now?
Hey, you, program man, you want to be in this?
You're pretty handsome. Get over here.
Yeah, you want to do this? Yeah, he stunk.
Yeah, no, he was so awkward. I like the. I didn't like Madame Gao. She was kind of over the top, and she was the only one that had like an obvious weird superpower. Like it wasn't explained what the superpowers of the Hand were. So like there was the Japanese guy, which I liked that he only spoke Japanese.
Yeah,
that was kind of a nice, and they would all understand him, and he could understand them in English, but he just didn't speak in English.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, oh, that's kind of a neat thing. But, like, his thing was he could punch you in interesting places. And it didn't necessarily hurt Luke Cage, but it slowed him down enough.
Right.
And then I have no idea what the South American guy's thing was.
Being tied to a chair?
No, that's the African guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I don't know what he did. And then Sigourney Weaver, I don't know what her power was, if anything at all. Just
super dying.
Yeah, super. See, and she had, and there were interesting things about her, too. Like the fact that she would only ever eat alone. Mm-hmm. And she would pay for, like, to close out a restaurant, or she would pay to have a string quartet. Huge sums of money, you would figure. You know, like, what do you make in a day? I'll pay that for, you know, for one meal. And that kind of thing. Like, that was kind of interesting how she moved among everybody but was so aloof, you know. And I thought she was dressed well, actually. Like, she wore, like, very, very variations on white the entire time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but wasted. She's just such a good actress, and she did nothing in this.
Yeah, well, that's what made the quality so vastly apparent. When you have Sigourney Weaver and like Charlie Cox acting very well, and you would have, you know, the guy playing Iron Fist was so awful and such a one note Johnny. It was like every time he was on screen, I'm like, oh God, what else can I do in the room? Like fold my laundry while this is happening, you know?
Yeah. Kristen Ritter too. I've become really disappointed in her because she, like you said before, she only plays one character and only has one vocal inflection.
Yeah, I know. I can't just, do it now. Well, I was doing it the other day because it's like when you hear it enough, it gets stuck in your head. You know, it's just, yeah. Oh, I drink a lot. I get that. And
yeah, but like she was the same.
Yeah.
No, you good. No, she was the same in Breaking Bad. She was the same in that short-lived sitcom she had, the Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23, which. I can't believe that got greenlit. It's just the title alone. It's like that's a terrible. The one funny thing about that sidebar was that I don't know what it was about, but it was about, well, besides there was this person played by her who was not very nice and lived in apartment 23. She was good friends with James Vanderbeek, who was playing a dickbag version of himself. Mm-hmm. And so, like, in the first episode, she's on the phone with him, and he's in some kind of mansion. And in the background, you hear the theme song to Dawson's Creek. And apparently he's there, like some fangirl is ready to have sex with him. And it's just like, it was actually kind of funny because that's, you know, it's the opposite of what James Van Der Beek is supposed to be like in real life. He's supposed to be a really nice guy. Mm-hmm. And that was the one funny thing about that show. The rest of it was just like, oh, this is just terrible. And the title is awful. Anyway, but yeah, she stinks.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, if you saw the one, her own show where she was in, and she had, and it was all about, you know, rape and survival and all that sort of thing. And I'm not saying you're ever really whole after that kind of experience. I'm, you know, I don't know, but she knows that that guy is gone. She killed him. And so she's still moping around like it's, you know, either be a detective or don't. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that show was, the end of it provided a unbelievable cathartic moment for that character. You know, it was basically you're watching her be tortured mentally for 13 hours, which takes place over weeks in the TV show. It's not just it happens, you know, in a short span of time. And it's a really interesting character, too. Like, they were very thorough with how awful that guy was and how insidious his abilities were. And just, you know, it was really, really well done. And then at the end, she kills him in a very satisfying way. And there's the shot at the end of that series was great when she's sitting in her office and you're kind of zooming or you're backing down the hallway and you're moving farther away and there she is with the guy and he answers the phone and says, Alias Investigations, how can we help you? And so it's somber, the end of that show, but it's also
hopeful.
Yeah, it's like we're moving forward here. It's going to be difficult. But here, it's just she's doing the same exact thing again. There needs to be some indication that things have improved. And what we see is an indication it's gotten worse.
Yeah, no, because now I don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah. And there can be one, you know, but we don't know what it is.
Well, I don't know what it is. Well, that was the same. So here's another thing I just didn't understand. Not that I didn't like it, but in the season two of Daredevil, when it's this whole thing with him and Elektra, they used to be in love, and she's willing to fight with Stick and murder all the ninjas, and he's not. He'd rather beat up muggers in the alley, like they say. Mm-hmm. So she's not particularly nice to him, and like they can't be together kind of thing. And then he, you know, because of that, she ends up dying. So when she shows up and he's, first of all, yeah, sure, okay, she used to be dead and now she's alive. That's weird. But there's also like, I love her. I'd do anything for her. I have to see if I can rescue her. I'm like, they didn't have this relationship. They didn't get along even half the time. And I'm not saying like he didn't, it's not like he didn't care enough to bring her back, but like we as an audience didn't even like her that much because she was a total pain in the ass.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of hard to sell his actions in this show based on what you saw of her in the previous show. I mean, the idea was that she was the bad girl and every boy likes the bad girl and you want to believe that you can change the bad girl into being the good girl, which is the same thing for women, more so in fact for women characters usually. And that's sort of his attraction to her, but you know, in the end, that's not who he is, and he chooses not to pursue that relationship because it makes him uncomfortable. It goes beyond what he's willing to do. Okay, then she dies, and that's sad, and he feels bad about that. But because we've established that this is not the right girl for you. And that the redheaded chick is much more your speed. Why are you so driven to get Elektra back when not only is she evil now because she's gone through some kind of insane metamorphosis, but she was kind of a bitch before too.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the long version of what you just said. But, yeah. But you're right. There's nothing there to anchor him to her.
Yeah.
Besides the fact, I mean, maybe we learn a little bit about how Stick is manipulating her in a way. I mean, Stick is actually, I think, one of the more interesting characters in the show because he's so monomaniacal. He's so driven with one goal that he's willing to, you know, to sacrifice a lot for that. So, you know, he raises Elektra from when she's a kid. He teaches her how to be a warrior. But then he treats her like shit. Because he's taught himself never to form relationships with people that your only job is to defend against the hand. And so that's interesting to me. And how he can manipulate people at the same time that, he's saying one thing and doing it the other. But his ultimate goal is relatively honorable. But, you know, the ends he thinks, or the means he thinks justify the ends. And, you know, that's, you know, Matthew's issue with him is that you can't live like this. Right. It's not a life. And so I think that might be why he feels that he needs to save Elektra is because, you know, he sees in her someone that never had a life because she was more bound to Stick than he was. He broke away from that and did his own thing. Mm-hmm. But I made all of that up in my head just now. I really have no idea whether or not that was actually what they were going for.
I mean, that's fine, because I didn't have any connection to that girl at all. So the whole time I was like, I don't care. Like I wasn't going to do that mental work, you know, especially now when she was back and she was such a horrible person. I was like, well, I know we're supposed to like this character, but I don't like her now. And I didn't like her very much before either.
Yeah.
You know, so, and all the other characters are like, oh, she was your ex-girlfriend. Why didn't you say anything? I'm like, well, what does it matter? He was beating her up. So Jessica Jones hit her with a car. I'm like, it's not important.
Yeah.
But
they were constantly upset that they were holding back information from each other. I'm like, it ultimately doesn't matter. You weren't successful in the last encounter, and it wasn't because of any of the things that you're mad about now.
Yeah. What did you think of all that fight choreography?
Awful. Couldn't see a goddamn thing.
I couldn't see anything.
And that's not necessarily because the fight, like the camera work was bad. It wasn't like a Jason Bourne thing. But they were trying to cover, like it was just badly laid out. You had, like at the end, you had four people in a mine fighting 20 people in a mine. It's like an orgy of fists and knees.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't design any opportunity save once or twice where it was sort of one-on-one or one-on-three. Like the fight between Matthew and Elektra in the office building. That looked cool because it wasn't great camera work, but you know there was only two characters to focus your eyes on, so you could sort of follow what they were doing. I thought for like this amazing ninja, the Iron Fist just stunk. Like every blow sounded like like he was punching a pillow. Like nothing sounded like it was really like some of this meat slapping that they do in, you know, whoosh, whoosh, like, yeah, that's a bit much, but they seem to have backed off that soundtrack a little bit to the point where like it just sounds like, like they're barely getting any kind of contact.
Yeah. I don't know.
And it just very uninteresting choices were made. And if you go back and look at, again, season one of Daredevil, that amazing, you know, it wasn't a single shot, but it was maybe two or three shots, you know, stitched into one where he's in the hallway and he's beating up like 10 Russian guys or whatever it is. It's good for a lot of reasons. The first is that it's one guy battling 10. Okay, fine. I know who the principal is and how I have to follow him. But the other thing is it's giving you information. It's sloppy. It's not necessarily but deliberately sloppy. It isn't like, whoops, you know, this guy fell down or this guy doesn't, that hit didn't look very hard. It was that he's tired. this is difficult for him. He's not, you know, he's a great fighter. He can take down all these guys, but it still takes a toll on him. So you learn about the character. You learn about the way in which that he interacts with this kind of environment. You tell a story with a fight, and they didn't do any of that here. You didn't learn anything during these fights. It was just, we fight now.
Yeah. And what's funny to me is, and I always think of The Matrix, because the first Matrix did this perfectly, and the second Matrix did this terribly. In which case, an Arrow has problems with it too, because he uses a bow and arrow, but they skirt around it sometimes, because everyone else around him has a gun. We live in a world with guns. Okay. Yeah. And so, and the first season of Daredevil did this too. And The Matrix was great at this. Does everyone know Kung Fu? Yes. Does it happen? Yes. What is the first weapon they all go for? Their guns. Because guns are fast killing machines. So when all the bullets were gone, then they would fight one another. Or if Daredevil's case, he would wait till it was dark, so that they couldn't fire their weapons at him because he's blind and doesn't need the light. And then he would beat them up, which was good. And in the second Matrix and in these shows, they just immediately start doing kung fu. And then when it's like, oh, let's throw a gun in here to show off that Luke Cage is bulletproof. That's dumb. And like in the back of your mind, you're going, why don't they just shoot this guy? Like, they're all high-powered executives in an office building, and they're all carrying switchblades and batons. I don't understand this. Why don't they just have guns on them?
Yeah.
Every two-foot hood in the city has a gun.
The Matrix, there's no problem with that in The Matrix is there's two reasons. One, they use the guns, and then when all the ammo is expelled, then they use the hand-to-hand thing. But they've also established that the guns are actually less effective. I mean, you can't shoot the agents with them because the agents can dodge the bullets. Right. And these people can dodge the bullets to a certain degree as well when the SWAT teams go after them. So they end up having to use the hand-to-hand because it's actually, you know, in their world that they've created, it's more effective than the guns to a certain extent. But then they took that, and that was the only thing holding together the fight scenes in the second and third film, was that, well, we're not going to bother with the guns anymore. We're just going to use kung fu.
Yeah.
Because it's cool. And it's like, no. You, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. You have to do both. Otherwise, it just, your brain goes, well, why don't you just, you have the Indiana Jones moment where you're like, who's got time for this?
Yeah, no, I don't get it. You know, and even if they just knock the guns out of his hand, which is what happens like on Arrow a lot of the time. You know, he shoots them with an arrow into their hand and they drop the gun. Okay, that's fine. At least they, like, acknowledge that it's there. You know? So in this show, almost nobody had guns. It was really distracting.
Yeah. It didn't make a lot of sense.
Well, yeah. But you're right. Like, the fight choreography is hard. I get that. I know it's hard. It's expensive. It takes time.
And the more characters you have, the harder it gets.
Sure. But you know, it wasn't good in this show. And because there are so many faceless goons, it all looks the same. So when they fight the faceless goons and then they fight the three members of the hand in the parking garage, I couldn't tell. There was no, like, well, this is a really big fight versus this is just another group action shot. It all felt the same. It had no stakes. It told no story, you know.
Yeah.
So not only did you talk endlessly in circles, but then the fight scenes didn't seem to go anywhere either.
It's just crap from beginning to end. There was nothing good about it, except for a couple of moments here and there where you're like, oh, that. But like the fact that it never led anywhere made it feel all the more disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Because at the end of it, you were like, what was the point of all of that?
Yeah, because then he dies. But then not really, because nobody ever dies.
And, like, did they learn to work together as a team? Kind of. Not really.
No, I would say not at all.
Yeah, like, they still aren't friendly.
And at the end, they're doing different things. Like, I forget what Luke Cage was doing at the end, but Jessica Jones is back in her place.
Yeah, he's like, and I'm going back
then
to
the
Harlem.
Iron Fist is, yeah, he goes back to Harlem, and then the Iron Fist goes back on the rooftop and just stares around. And then that one chick loses her arm. And
oh, that chick. That woman is the worst actress I have ever seen. And I apologize if I ever meet her, but she's terrible. And like every time she's on screen, I cannot roll my eyes hard enough. Yeah, every line is just the worst.
Yeah, she was no good. She did have an interesting... Like one of the things I liked about Luke Cage initially was her like the whole concept where she would, you know, see a crime as it was happening. Like she would look at all the evidence and piece together, and then they would insert her character into the crime that happened so many hours ago, and it kind of gave you the sense that she was, you know, it's not like a superpower, but it's a way to visually represent how clever or intuitive she is about looking through crime scene evidence.
Yeah, like a Sherlock kind of thing.
Yeah, and it was sort of neat, and I don't know if it was the most effective thing, but it was different, and I was like, okay, let's do it. And they never got back to that. Like that popped up a couple more times, and then that was it, and then you don't see any more in this. No, but she has no cause to investigate things here, but...
Yeah, I completely forgot about that, actually, because yeah, I don't miss at all. It's like, that's right, she could do that.
I mean, it's such a unique take on how to show that you would think, well, this makes her kind of special and kind of unique. And she's anything but special or unique in this. She's just another flatfoot, you know. There's nothing to her. She had a relationship with Luke Cage in the sense that she doesn't think he's a menace, but she also doesn't, you know, she's not in a position to go out of her way to support him, like, you know, like Batman's Commissioner Gordon does. So,
yeah. I also really enjoyed the film school levels of imagery with all the colors and everything. Like every time Daredevil was on screen, it was red, like red tinted, and Jessica Jones was always purple tinted. What's so distracting?
Like a filter?
Yeah, there was always filters when they were on screen.
Really?
Did you notice that? You didn't notice that? Oh my God.
I noticed it looked weird. Like there was always. Yeah.
Yeah, like the lights around them would be like whatever Luke Cage was, it was like tinted yellow and it was fall outside and the leaves were yellow and he always had the yellow hoodie.
The costuming stood out because he had that bright yellow shirt on.
Yeah, well, that's his color.
Yeah.
And Jessica Jones was always in a purple tint. And
I mean, Harlem definitely has a, kind of an auburn-like sheen to it whenever he's there.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't look like that. Like, they're all in the same place, everybody.
Well, yeah, I happen to have a big map, of Manhattan Island on my wall. It's like, well, you can buy them online. And then each little area is, like, sectioned off. So it'll tell you, you know, this is the Lower East Side. This is Chelsea. This is Greenwich. So there's Harlem, and it's nice. The big chunk in the upper right side. And then there's Hell's Kitchen, which is, like, an inch long and 2 centimeters tall. It's, like, four blocks.
It's a very small neighborhood. And Hell's Kitchen, it's interesting. It's gone through a lot of development in the last, you know, 30 years. It used to be where all the Irish tenements were. So it was called Hell's Kitchen because it was basically a slum. It was a really shitty neighborhood. And it remained as such, you know, I don't know if it remained as such. But during the 70s when New York got really crazy and the 80s too, it's right adjacent to Times Square, which was full of pimps and drug dealers and porno theaters. And it was, you know, it's not the, you know, the electric Tokyo that, you know, it is now. I mean, Times Square right now is gorgeous. People complain about how nice it is, which is funny about New York. And for a while, they actually renamed Hell's Kitchen Clinton. I don't know who that was named for or, you know, but it didn't take because people began
to...
map,
but it's also like... It's right above Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
So Hell's Kitchen still is in there. It's right next... Hell's Kitchen...
Yeah, it's just north of it, right? Yeah, yeah. So, like, I guess for real estate listings, you don't want to, you know, put, you know, 2-bedroom apartment in Hell's Kitchen,
in the truck,
you know, on the Weichert Realty website. It's not, yeah. So, yeah,
know what you're doing.
Yeah. So yeah, so people began to rebel against the over gentrification of the area because it made it less, and like Hell's Kitchens is kind of a cool name, but they make it sound in the show like it's this huge area and like a lot of people live there and they're all poor and they're doing like okay fine, but like not really that it's okay that they're blowing it out of proportion, or they're obfuscating the truth for the sake of the narrative. But you're right, they're not that far apart from each other. They're on the same island. It's a tiny island, everybody.
It's a tiny island. What, five, 6 miles or something? Yeah, 9 miles. Yeah, it's not that big. Yeah. So, are you excited to watch any more of these Netflix shows? I mean, we'd ask Charlie Cox about it, but he's not here, so.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see what they do with Daredevil, just because Charlie is really good. I'm for the same reason the Punisher, because I can't think of the character, the actor's name, John
Bernthal.
John, yeah, he's great. I have a lot to do, so I have a low threshold for this crap. I don't want to sit around and watch things that aren't any good, and so if that makes for shorter or fewer podcasts, I'm sorry, everybody. But I'll give them a go, but if I'm not invested, if they somehow get past this thing where it's like such a slow burn to get anywhere, and they're so, this is like their thing now, we just drag it out forever. If they stop doing that, I'll watch it.
Yeah, I listened to a podcast with Noah Hawley. He's the writer for Fargo. Mm-hmm. And they were asking him about certain things in the process. And he said, like, they're basically, it's a 10-hour movie, but it's not really, it's 10 episodes. And each episode should have a beginning and an end, and something should happen in it. You know, and all I kept thinking of the Defenders and the other shows was, like, there's nothing happening. Some of these episodes are just filler, and some of them happen within, like, 10 minutes that could have been stretched out, like... They just don't have enough material, apparently, to fill the episodes. Like, this was only 8 episodes, and they still didn't have enough material.
No.
Or they didn't know how to pace, they couldn't pace it correctly and things like that. So,
yeah.
I'm really curious what they're going to do with, like, Jessica Jones or The Punisher, who were pretty much unyielding, unflinching characters. Like, the Punisher was great because he had one moral code and was like, I'm going to murder everyone who's a bad guy. And he didn't flinch from that at all, the entire thing. Now, how do you make a whole show about that unless you change that part of his character?
Yeah.
Are you just going to watch him for 13 episodes blowing mob bosses away? I mean, that's what he is.
They could sell that, though.
Yeah, it's up to them to make it interesting. And I'm not saying that's easy, but it's something has to give.
I always think of Rob Long, describing a pitch meeting for someone, trying to sell a show like this, and then he goes, and then episode 4 is just a tone poem. Nothing happens. Just a tone poem. I'm just like, but like there's got to be a meeting where guys like, and then here nothing's gonna actually happen, but it's just gonna feel like this for a while, and like. It's Jesus Christmas, and because this guy's very much in the old school of like get something going every time, keep people engaged. But that doesn't seem to be what they're doing. Because like that's right, you could look at it like a 10-hour movie, and you'd be an asshole to do that. It's you're given a largesse of time, you think, and so I can do whatever I want in this space. And but that's not how we digest these things. So you shouldn't look at it like that.
Right. I mean, especially because, it's bingeable, but it shouldn't be. I should be able to take a break and still remember where I left off.
I mean, there's bingeable and then there's, the Da Vinci Code kind of bingeable. Like CJ just watched that 13 Reasons Why show, which is staggeringly depressing, and I don't recommend it really to anybody. It's not bad. The acting in it is actually quite good, but it's just so damn sad. But the whole point of the show is that you don't know why this poor girl commits suicide. Mm-hmm. And every episode you get closer to finding out, but either it's because of the subject matter, but it's just excruciating to get a little bit more. And I just think about reading the Da Vinci Code, where like chapters would be 2 pages long, and then it would end with, and then a bang was heard outside the window, dun, 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 and like end of chapter. That's not a good way to do it either.
Yeah.
So like binging is fine, but you have to create it within the format. How people come to it, if they want to binge it, fine. But you can't write a show assuming that your audience is going to be able to set aside a full day and do the whole goddamn thing. You know, that's a nice benefit if you have the time, but it can't be the driving force behind, you know, the construction of your show.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess I'll see how the ratings go first. Because they're, you know, Iron Fist was so bad, I was like, yep, I'm going to skip that one. So
yeah, I should start to read them before I just jump right in.
Yeah, just to take a look at the score they get. Like, I think Iron Fist had like a 20 on Metacritic. I'm like, holy shit, I got 20? That's
that's
bad.
You know, that's like Electric Boogaloo bad. You know?
Yeah, like the Emoji Movie had a 7.
Oh, really?
So that's not that far off from a 20 in a scale of 100.
7.
Mm. Achy, yeah, machy.
That was doomed for the, you know, something about that premise. I don't think much to latch onto there. Mm-hmm. But they got Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, apparently he was in it for all of like 30 seconds. But they got him, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, if those two of you who disagree with us and loved this want to reach out to us, you can do so on Twitter at the number 3 drinks in pod. That's at the number 3 drinks in pod. We are on Instagram. You can send us things there too. Facebook and the email address, 3drinksinpodcast@gmail.com. What we really want you to do is go subscribe to us. So you can do that on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, at the Google Play Store, and now on TuneIn Radio. Hit that subscribe button so you never have to miss an episode. Leave us a review and a rating would be much appreciated. I think that's everything I had to say before we sign off. Is there anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, everybody. Sorry for no Charlie Cox. I'm sure you got held up in traffic. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Yes. Anyway, as always, please drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, take care.
Bye.